Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Academy this morning. We are, just clearing my throat. We are excited to be here this morning, as we are every week. Would it be crazy if one week I said I wasn't excited to be here? I don't know if that'll ever happen.
That'd probably be the last week you're here, wouldn't it?
Probably, yeah. Probably, no.
No.
But we're excited. You know why we're extra excited today? We had Brooke comment, say hi, and then we cut the feed.
We didn't like that, so we cut the feed.
We had to restart the feed because we had internet freezing here, but we just restarted, switched over. It's all good. So now I've got Richard from Token Wall, Joe Rose and Sheba, and Brooke, who I know is there, even though her comment's now been deleted. She's just got to rejoin. And we're pretty excited because we've got Jay in the studio.
Yes. Who's Jay?
Who's Jay? Yeah. If anyone's forgotten who Jay is.
Good morning again.
Yeah. Good morning. Good. And that's a good sign, actually. Brooke has rejoined because that's a sign that she's been able to rejoin. Good. Jay, who is my son, but also often joins us on Breakthrough Academy. And he's been not able to join us because he had ankle surgery when he took a flying leap off a waterfall. Praise God, survived, except with broken foot. Can I just say a quick testimony? I was with Jay. We went in to see the doctor. Mm. Remember when we were there and we said the foot was sideways?
Yeah.
Then when he stood up, the foot was
turned
normal.
Around, yep. Lined up.
All right. When we're talking to the surgeon, and he was looking at all the x-rays, he kept saying things, something, and I had to clarify what. And he's like, obviously the shape of everything, he said someone straightened the foot, they must have straightened it before the x-rays. Is that right, Jay? He said something like we don't have the x-rays beforehand. And I said, what do you mean, what x-rays? I said, well, the paramedics must have straightened it. And he said, you know, sometimes they do, you know. And I'm like, what are you saying? He's saying, well, looking at this, you know, he was like, we don't have the x-rays before.
Yeah, that's good.
And I'm like, no.
Somebody.
Yeah, somebody. And I said, oh, his foot was sideways, but when we stood him up, it straightened. And he's like, ah, you know. But it was like, he was like looking at it like, yeah, we don't have all the x-rays because it was, obviously this should have been like that.
Yeah.
But now it's like that. The breaks and the shape, everything showed.
Yeah.
He was expecting.
Yeah.
Pre-straightening x-rays, and they weren't there. And he said, they must have done them already.
God is good.
They did that without the x-ray. Well, God did that without the x-ray. And he put it all back in place, and then now it's knitting and healing.
He did, yeah.
And praise God, but they had to put some plates and, not dinner plates, you know, some metal plates, and the whopping great screw. I didn't realize there's about 7 screws. We've got an amazing x-ray. And then there's one screw, it's about this long, that goes from one side of the leg right through to the other. So Jay's pretty excited, you know, what they've done. Oh, he was going to come on. Come on.
I'm very excited. I'll come around from the back and get a seat on my way through.
Yeah, so Jess, we're just going to have a quick hi to Jay, who's not going to join us online for
you
the whole...
You can't see him yet, because he's behind
on my way, here I come.
He's not here.
Can you scoot in a little bit? Josh, I'm jumping on the edge here for a second.
We can cover this, Josh.
I've just got the base of the TV.
Wrong seat.
This is live.
That's right. You're only going to be here for a moment.
Yeah.
Grab this one here.
This is all happening live.
Yeah, if you can tell, we don't edit. If you want proof that this is not pre-recorded, this is it. All right?
I'm not quite in. There we are. There we are. Hello, everyone. It's good to be back.
Even if it's half a Jay. It's good. Yeah, Jay, and how exciting was that? You got a good report. I appreciate what you said when you went to the doctor. You said, went to see the surgeon. He said, you know, you don't want just a good report. You want an accurate report that shows that God has been good.
Mm. Mm. That's it. That's exactly it. As I was praying on, seamless. Thanks, B. As I was praying on, I went to the doctor Tuesday. So it would have been Monday night. Just praying there. I remember... That was exactly what I felt God say. So don't pray for a good report. Pray for a true report of the good work I've done. And I believe that's what we saw.
Yeah.
I believe what we received. Doctor was blown away. God was so good, you know. Being given permission to go back to a heap of stuff that we weren't expected to go back to yet. Walking and a bunch of other stuff that really should have been another month or two away, honestly. So just praising God and so grateful for what he's done.
Mm.
Yeah. Praise God. Did you pick up when he was saying that they didn't have all the x-rays?
I was like, you could tell, like, after a while, I realized what he was saying. I'm like, And like, no matter how many times we tried to explain, like, no, it was just straight. Like, he could never quite understand what we were saying. Like, no, it just straightened itself. He's like, oh, okay, so the doctor's right. No, it straightened itself.
So the
paramedic said, no, it straightened itself. So the paramedic, no, it's, forget it.
That's, when on the actual day that it happened, when you were explaining that, I was outside the room, paramedic was there, and she gave me the look like, oh yeah, he's, you know, he's on the morphine. Yes. I'm like, no, it really happened. And she's like, oh, okay.
Yeah. And it was like when I was trying to tell, you know, the doctor, it's like, you know, say, I'm sorry they didn't get the x-rays beforehand, but that's because God fixed it before they could get x-rays.
No, it's amazing. I'm so grateful to be back. Yeah, I'll jump back behind the screen just so I can keep my foot elevated and also so I can make sure the internet doesn't drop out again. Yes. But it's so good to be back with you guys, and can't wait to be back full time on the screen, on the desk here very soon. But I'll leave you in two very capable hands. But thank you to everyone, every one of you, for your prayers and everything during this season. It's been so helpful, and even while staying at home, you know, sitting on the couch, having things like Academy that I could watch has been so good for my faith and so good for building me up every Friday. So so excited to be back here in the studio again.
Mm. Yeah, great to have you, Jay.
Very good.
Exciting to know you'll be here in the studio.
I'll jump back out. I'll be here. I'll come back in at the end and say hello.
All right.
Bumping the camera.
So, that's excitement number one. Excitement number two. I'm excited to get into the mirror, mirror, word of
yes.
God. And find out. Last week we talked about, we're just saying, mirror, mirror, what has God done? Who are we? We're born of God. We're brand new creations in Him. You know, and this scripture, which has just become such an important part of my life, let's just go there. Well, that's pretty exciting for you. For 1 John... 3 verse 9 says everyone who has been fathered by God the term fathered by God can mean, you know, like being a father figure in your life. You know, it's people, they've fathered me, they've watched over me. But this is not talking about someone who's acted like a father. Mm-hmm. It's actually the word, well, let's actually have a look at the word, because we are in Academy, and in Academy we can take our time to actually get this deep. I don't know whether you can see this here. This is each word in that verse in its Greek form, all right? And then that's the word there. Don't worry about trying to pronounce it. It's a bit long for me. Genenemenos. Okay, so it's a bit long. Comes from here. Geneo. To procreate. I'll try and get that in the English letters. So that makes a bit more. Here. Genao. Geneo. And genos. It comes from where we get our word genes. Genealogy. When it says fathered, it means birthed out of your own life and you've created life. We've been born out of God. God has fathered us.
Yeah.
Not come alongside, I'll be your father.
Yeah.
No, but actually, I fathered you. I am your father.
Yeah,
I am the one
good.
That... My DNA, effectively, is born in you. We are the offspring of God. Says because I'm jumping around a bit here. I'm pretty excited, and so
that's good.
Got to slow myself down. Everyone who has been fathered by God does not practice sin because God's seed resides in him.
Yeah.
All right, so they've been fathered because his seed, and the Greek word for seed is spermos. It's the word that we now use for a male sperm has come from this word seed.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So it's like a male seed. And that is actually literally sperm. So God is actually saying God's seed is in us.
Yeah.
And we found out from last week that when you look at how the seed works, It's the word of God. God speaks, then he puts his spirit in, but it's through the word. He speaks. His word becomes the seed in our lives. We are born again, it says in Peter, by his incorruptible seed. That's how we're born again. Right. Jesus used the parable, the sower went out to sow. He sows seed, that seed goes in, it creates something, and that word comes in, it creates something. Then he puts his spirit in us, because connecting us, because we are born out of the heavenly realm, out of the spirit realm. We're born out of, we've had a birth that's come out of this natural realm, but now we've had a new birth out of this spirit realm. We're connected to heaven. We're totally part of heaven's atmosphere and where God is, because he's birthed something in us, and we're new creations in that. So that was all last week. We talked about that whole process. And so this week I want to say, okay, now we've come in and we're his children, all right? And there's, we're his children, praise God, because of his seed in us. But I want us to bring about the next step that God said, okay, mirror, mirror, says, I want you to see yourself now, not just as the children of God, but he has now taken us with his mission and with his purpose. He's called us to become a part of something bigger than that. And it's the concept of sonship that, let's go to Galatians chapter 3. Because there is actually a difference between being a child and being a son. You sort of think that's one and the same. It sounds the same, but there is actually a difference in terms of, and we have that in English.
Difference of relation.
Yeah.
How you can relate.
Well, we've got names for different levels of our growth. You know, you're a baby, you're an infant, you're a toddler, you're a child. Now, a child can, how old is a child?
Baby, toddler, child.
In English, how old is a child?
Young.
Yeah. Well, no. Is a child young? Doesn't have to be. I've got three children.
Not a not an adult.
Well, can be an adult though. I can say Jay is my child.
Yeah.
And yet he's an adult. Child is not limited by age. Yeah. But it's a phrase that often refers to sort of a young child, but it doesn't, it is limited. Same as in Greek, all right? What I'm saying is words, we have different words for our offspring, and they often refer to different ages or different levels of authority, but they can mix over and have an overlap. So I'd say, you know, my child goes from a baby to a toddler to a child, you would understand, and then a young adult, and then, speaking levels of ages. And child in that sense is... younger.
Yeah.
All right. But child doesn't have to be younger. All right. Now, the same as son. Son can refer to any age.
Yeah.
But son in the Bible has a particular emphasis, not on age and youngness, but on a position that you hold in the family.
That's right.
So that's something that we've got to get our head around, that when they were talking about sons, we just relegate that to being a child. An example is often we'll just change it, sons and daughters, because we're sort of saying, oh, you know, sons is very male centric. Do you know what I mean? We're sons, you know, when we're saying son, he's really saying son, but if you're a female, daughter. Yes and no, all right? Because what he was referring to is not just the fact that you were born of God, but a son is actually a legal sort of phrase, a terminology that reflected a certain status. And that status is what he's referring to, not just the relationship and the connection.
That's good, yeah.
All right? So when he says son, he's not just saying, oh, you know, you've been born out of me, because that's a child. So let's try and unpack some of this. This is important because mirror, mirror, you're going to look and you say, okay, this is who I am. I've become a new creation. I'm born of God.
Yeah.
The seed of God has created me.
Yeah, that's good.
I now belong to him. I'm no longer connected to this world. That has so much to do with our ability and freedom not to walk in sin, because it was our old self was beholden to sin. It was It was a prisoner to sin.
Yeah.
It was, we could not stop sinning. Even though we wanted them to stop, we can't stop, you know, because, and the more focus and attention we give it, the more energy we give.
Yeah.
You know,
the
I will
more
not
you
sin,
try,
I,
the more you will.
Yeah, the more I, at, then pride gets involved. It just becomes a bigger and bigger mess.
Yeah.
And Paul said that in Romans 7. He said, you know, woe me, I'm just a, I, he said, The very thing I hate becomes the very thing I do. And he said, I'm trapped in this. And then right at the end, who will free me from this? You know, I did have a conversation once with a friend of mine called Neville. And we were in the car park of the Yarrawonga Church of Christ. I wanted to actually...
Shout out to Yarrawonga.
Yeah, I wanted to recreate this. Last Saturday, the family, as a Father's Day gift, took me on a day trip up to Yarrawonga. I haven't been there for 26 years. I spent from 7 years of age to about 16, 17 mm-hmm. in Yarrawonga. So it's only 10 years, but it was like influential 10
pivotal,
years.
Pivotal years.
Growing up years and a lot of shaping of my life and character, and God met me at that time and a whole lot of things. I was born again up there. I was filled with the Spirit there. I was, God got hold of me up there. Called me there, everything, you know. So it was a lot of
it memories. All happened.
So I wanted to go back to the Church of Christ. So we found out the house I was, where I was born again. It's no longer a house. It's been demolished. It's part of, you know, it was a school building block. So we're standing there. I had to say, this is, you know, the fence is still there, but not the house, you know. This is where we were. This is what we did, you know. This is,
yeah,
okay. But I said, well, let's go to the church. And driving in, I'd seen the sign, Yarrawonga Church of Christ. So I said, well, at least we'll go back there. So I walked down. I said, I think it's two blocks down here. We walked down two blocks, nothing. I said, well, maybe I missed it. Come back a block. Walk back. Still can't find it. Google. Yeah, it closed down, you know, 6 years ago. And 3 years ago, it was turned into, cleared and turned into apartments. Okay, so I said, see these, see these brand new apartments? This was the Church of Christ, right? And I wanted to say, because in this spot, in this camp, you know, right here, you know, but there was no church there. So it didn't, you know, it didn't have quite the impact.
Imagine the church is here.
Yeah, imagine it. I can imagine it. And there was a car park here, gravel car park. And I was standing here. It was late at night. It probably must have been after youth or a Sunday night meeting. Everyone had pretty much gone home. And I was standing there in the dark with Neville, because I could walk home. He could walk home. That's Yarrawonga. Everyone could walk home. And Neville, as a teenager, was saying Romans 7 is him. He relates to Romans 7. That's his life. That's how he feels.
Yep.
So he felt really scriptural, because he said, I'm just like the scriptures, Romans 7. And it's like, I relate to Paul. Paul, you know, this angst, what the thing I hate, I do.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm, you know, trying as hard as I can to live as a Christian, and I just can't keep it all together. And I fall here, and an attitude here, and a mindset here, and a word here, and a behavior here. He's like, he was just exasperated. He was at the end of himself.
Mm.
And what he didn't realize is that Romans 7 comes before Romans 8. Paul hasn't finished speaking.
Yeah.
All right. Paul never wanted us to live in Romans 7. Romans 7 was just setting the stage for Romans 8. And, you know, let's, some people might not know what I'm talking about. So let's just go to the very last verse of Romans 7. So he says, you know, verse 24, wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? That's Neville. He just felt wretched.
Yeah.
He felt wretched. But Paul said, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. But it was like the thanks be to God through Jesus, verse 1 of chapter 8, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We're no longer living under that condemned way.
You didn't have to have the condemnation.
For the law of the life-giving Spirit in Christ Jesus set you free from the law of sin and death. So it's like we're living in this brand new life and this whole way that God has given us. And so, you know, I sort of sometimes wish I could go back and sort of, hey, Neville, I found out the answer. You're in the wrong chapter.
Just keep reading.
Keep reading. There's another chapter. This is where we're living in Romans 8.
There's a few more chapters.
Yeah, but Romans 8 is where Paul was heading, and Romans 6 is that, you know, what he's done for us, and then Romans 7 is the wretchedness, but then Romans 8 is where we break through into that. We're living in that, and so it was like, so that was significant. I can, you know, Romans 7 can be how Christians really relate to. But no, praise God, because we're brand new creations in Christ and the seed of God is in us. That's not our life anymore. That's not who we are. We just got to lean into that. We don't have to try and make it happen in the sense we do. We're activating that which has been already established in us. We are new creations, but we must get into agreement with that. And we spoke about that last week. So go back to last week's teaching and you'll find all, you know, how we have, we've been made brand new creations, and in that we're free from sin and God has done wonderful things. But that's talking about childhood, all right? We become a child of God. We become born of God. We belong to Him. And so let's go back to Galatians 3. Let's just go to verse 29. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, Abraham's offspring, Abraham's seed, I think literally, heirs according to the promise. We've come into Christ, now we've got the same promises that Abraham had. Yeah. We've entered into that.
That's good.
It's all wonderful. I just want to know how far back to go. Let's just read from verse 26. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. We take that and let's just look at the Greek word for sons there. Okay, it's this word. It looks like uios, but there's an H there. It's a aspiration. Huios. Can you say that, Josh?
Actually,
huios. So it's like saying weos, but with a h in front of it. Huios.
We're still saying the we. Huios.
Yeah. We're saying weos.
Weos.
Yeah, which is the uios. Weos. But you're putting the.
are we doing it with our throat or just weos?
But this weos. Just the h. The huios. Huios. Huios.
All right. Word
something. Son. All right. So that's the word for son and a male offspring. So, yeah, we're all sons of God.
Yeah.
Praise God for that.
Ooh.
But Paul was bringing out a sense, well, you know, you can be a son or a child of God, but if you're not, it depends on what age group you are, because without the right age, you still can be this as if you're a slave.
Mm.
All right, how can you be a son but still be a slave? By being a young son. All right, you can be by being a toddler, an infant.
Yes.
Even though you're a son, you don't have the yet the access to the inheritance that is yours. You have an inheritance; it's been planted in you, given to you, but you don't have access to it. So let's just go to chapter 4. Now, I mean that at the heir. As long as he is a minor, all right? So see, a child. Let's just have a look at that because that's really important. Let's see. My New American says, now, as long as the heir is a child, and the New English translation as the heir, as long as he is a minor.
Mm.
So he's trying to get that sense of the youngness of them.
Yeah.
So it's using a different, remember, huios was son?
Yep.
Okay, so let's just grab this word. As long as he's a child. Is a nepios. Nepios, from the word net, which means no, and epos, a word. He can't speak.
Yeah.
Yeah. So an infant, not yet talking.
Very young. Yes.
Very young. Okay. It can be a baby, an infant, depending on how it's used. Yep. Different scriptures. Okay. Probably 3 to 4 years old. You know, this is young. They're not able to fully articulate. So Paul says, as long as he's a nepios. He's no different from a slave. Mm. He's still born in. He's born. You can be a new creation, born of God, the seed of God. Yeah. But if you're a nepios, you're still like a slave because you can't activate or do anything because you're still. You're not the owner, but you're not in charge. Does that make sense? But he's under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. So also, when we were minors, we were enslaved under the basic forces of the world. But when the appropriate time had come, God sent out his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, so that we might be adopted as sons with full rights. Okay, so notice here that with full rights. This is the analogy Paul's trying to get to. Now, what he sort of said is, we're children, we are servants, we are we belong to God, but without this process, we can't activate any authority or use any resource.
Yeah.
We can't work in our inheritance. And so he uses this word, and he uses a word that's used in Roman life and experience called adopted. Now, I'm gonna make a suggestion here that we stop using the word adopted, all right, as the English word, for this very reason, that the English word adopted does not carry with it the understanding of what the Greek word is. All right, so let's have a first. So adopted as sons is actually one Greek word. All right, so they've translated it as adopted as sons, one Greek word. So let's have a look at that Greek word.
Is this that case where Paul's using this word in relation to their time or what it meant, but it means something slightly different for us?
Well, no, what it meant, in Paul's day, they had an understanding of this word.
Yeah.
The closest word we have in English is adopted.
Yeah.
But the way we use adoption today is different.
It's different. Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Okay. So, the actual word that Paul was using is this word here, huiothesia. All right. Now, can you see at the start of that?
Huios.
Okay. Take the S off huios. Yeah. It's huio. It's from huios.
Yep.
But when they join it to another word, they just drop the S off so that it can, otherwise the S makes it hard to blend.
So you can say it.
Yeah, okay. So instead of huios thesia, it's huio, and they drop. So huio is son.
Yep.
And thesia comes from this Greek word, tethemai. Okay, and again, it's a slight adaption of that, which means to place. All right?
Nah.
Okay, son to place. And it literally means son placed.
Son placed, yeah.
Okay. So instead of the word adoption, I would like to use the English word son placed, which is more of a literal relation to what Paul was talking about. Because when they talked about son placement, they understood what it meant. Son placement was when you needed an heir to run your household, either before you died or certainly or definitely after you pass away, but you need to bring someone in to give them a place of authority and to give them the inheritance so they could act it out. Now, sometimes it was because they had no children of their own or no sons of their own, and so they would take a servant or the son of a servant and they would make them. Now, they would never pick a nepios. Remember a child?
Yeah.
It's not nepios placement. Yeah. Okay, this is the difference. See, adoption in Western mindset and our current day is nearly always nepios placement.
Yeah.
You're placing a child into your home.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, it's about you take them as a baby, you take them as an infant. You know, sometimes they're children, but they're not adults because why would you adopt an adult? He's already an adult. This is about providing nurture and care for the child. This is a child who is without a father, without a mother. They're an orphan, so they need nurturing and protection, and they need to be brought in and given family. And so it's about placing into family. It's about placing them into a life, and then they grow up. And some of them don't even know that they were never not part of that family.
Yeah.
Because they from such birth, and they might never get told until they maybe do a DNA check or something like that and realize, I've got different DNA. How does that work? So understanding that's our concept of adoption is nepios or baby or child placement and family placement. We're bringing them in, giving them because they need nurturing, they need protecting, they need care. And at the moment, they're on their own. The state is looking after them, but they need the nurture of a family.
Yeah.
They need a father and a mother to care for them. That is adoption for us. Paul's not thinking about this. That's not the concern here. This is not about someone who's an orphan. You could son place someone who had a father.
All right?
It was they're not orphans. And they're not young. Because you would never pick someone young to son place them because you're bringing them in for the express purpose of administering your household and your inheritance and giving it to them.
To look after those things.
Yeah,
after.
You need to know, make sure that they're capable.
Capable, yeah.
And you would never do it to a baby because... even if that baby grows up, you don't know whether they're going to grow up to be a moron or a very capable person. Yeah. They might be a wild person that I don't want them in charge of my house. So you pick someone who is capable, pick someone who's reliable, pick someone who you could trust, and you son place them. You give them now the position of a son in your house. And that son always comes with an inheritance. All right? Not every child born into a home in Bible times came with an inheritance. All right? We sort of think everyone gets equal inheritance. No, they did not. There was three levels of place, type of inheritance you could get. If you were the firstborn, you got what's called the firstborn or the double inheritance, which means you get the double of everybody else. All right? If you've got five kids and one's the firstborn, you divide things six ways.
Yeah.
You get two portions and everyone else gets a remaining one. So
good for them.
Yeah. So the firstborn, because they had the duty of taking the family name, and keeping that going. That was their express duty. So they had got double inheritance in order to double resource them to do that. All right. So firstborn, God has special inheritance. Firstborn is a legal term, not always the first one that was born.
Yeah.
All right. Sometimes there could be an exchange and the firstborn was not the firstborn. It's a legal term.
Where did that happen in the Bible?
Yeah, yeah. So, Jacob, I'll have some of that. You know, he tricked his brother out of his firstborn inheritance. Yeah, he got his brother out of desperation for some food to give me your firstborn inheritance, and he got the blessing with that and everything that goes along with that. But but he could do that because you don't have to be the firstborn to get the firstborn blessing.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying, the firstborn dies. I'm saying sometimes it's just illegal. So that's why some people say, Jesus is the firstborn. He must be born. No, it's not talking about Jesus was not born and didn't exist because they said Jesus couldn't have existed in eternity because he was firstborn. He must have been born. No, he is the firstborn, which means the preeminent one that gets the special position in inheritance and stuff like that. So it's a legal term, not a... talking actually about your birth.
Yeah.
All right. So the firstborn, and then you got the other born, but then you had children born from concubines. They didn't get necessarily the inheritance because the inheritance was assigned. So you could be a son, but not a son that has an inheritance.
Jay was just looking at me like, what's that? What does it mean?
The concubine is the female form
of... Can someone please explain it to Jay?
A concubine is the female form of a porcupine. All right?
He wasn't. I'm just putting you on. Yeah. Here's the best.
Solomon had a petting zoo. Yeah, it's 300 wives and 700 porcupines. What was all those porcupines doing in his house? He had a zoo. All right, let's show this from the book of Genesis, in Abraham's life, Genesis 25, and verse 6. How many children did Abraham have?
A lot.
Well, we know Isaac.
A nation.
And Ishmael.
And many sons.
Okay. Yeah, actually literal sons born. He had Ishmael first.
Yes.
Firstborn. Ishmael was his born first. But Ishmael did not become his firstborn in terms of the inheritance.
No.
Okay, that was given over to Isaac.
Yes.
So there's an example that I wasn't planning to think of, but there it was. There's another example. Ishmael, even though he was born first, did not get the firstborn he was sent away. And but then after, and Isaac, remember Abraham couldn't have any kids. And he had Ishmael through
his servant
Rahab.
Yep.
And then God blessed him and Sarai. He said, no, I promised you.
Yeah.
Even though Abraham's beyond now having children, his body's good as dead, Book of Romans says, and Sarai, well past, she could never have children.
Yeah.
And now she's, even if she could, she's past that time. God supernaturally enable them to have a child? Mm. Well, God did something supernatural in Abraham because he went on having children after Sarai died many years later. He had lots of kids. Some people might not be aware of this. Abraham had taken another wife named Keturah. All right, so after Sarah's died, this is a long time. She bore him. Now, remember, he was about 100 when he had the baby.
Yep.
He was 175 when he died.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so
plenty of time.
She bore him Zimran, Jokshan, Medan, Midian, Ishbak, and Shua.
Bless you.
He had lots of. He did well.
Yeah.
Then this is their children, Everything he owned, he left to his son, Isaac.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so the inheritance, he had Ishmael, born first, but not the firstborn. Just get your head around that. He had lots of other children, but not part of his inheritance. Mm. The inheritance was all channeled and funneled through one line, which is Isaac. So he everything he owned, Abraham left to his son Isaac. But while he was still alive, Abraham gave gifts to the sons of his concubines and sent them off to the east, away from his son Isaac. Given that, you know, he doesn't want to mess up his inheritance here. Here's his supplies out of here. I don't want this to be messed up.
Yeah.
All right, so that's an example of multiple sons, but only one had the inheritance in this case. All right, just because you were a son did not guarantee you coming into an inheritance.
Only one of them was son placed.
Yeah. Only one of them was actually son placed, given that role, the role of a son that had, administrative authority over the inheritance.
Mm.
Only one had, in this case. Now, some in other situations, one would get double portion and everyone else would get a equal portion. But in this case, Isaac got it all. And he was the son-placed one, the one placed in the role of a son. And so Paul says, you know, it's like son placement. He said, you know, when a Roman, master wants... Now, he sometimes has sons. Sometimes this is not just, you know, often it's he doesn't have a son, so he needs a son to take care of his estate after he's gone. And even when he's elderly, to be running his estate. So he would take a trusted servant or some relative that's outside and bring them in and give them that role, and they'd become son placed. They would legally become his son. And and everything that would come to a normal son now comes to him.
Yeah.
And he's got the authority to actually to officiate and steward that and to do what is necessary. So sometimes he has his own sons, but they're not worthy or in the right place to be able to do that. And he says, no, I'm going to bring someone else in. So it's not necessary that he's got no children.
Yeah.
It's just the fact. So can you see that a son placement is different to our concept? For us, it's nurturing and it's bringing in to a family.
Yeah.
To the Roman mind, it's bringing into a place of sonship and son placement.
Mm.
All right. So that's why whenever I see this word now, it's just used a few times in the Bible. But in this, in Galatians and in Romans, where it's used in this particular example, I just say sun placed because it helps me to say
disconnect from the adoption of an infant.
Yeah, to say
to give him a home.
Yeah, to sun place, which is so. Whenever you talk about sun placement. It's going to be, okay, and how does he administer? What is he administering? What is he, you know, working over? So let's go back to Galatians. I'll bring my Bible back here as well. To redeem those who are under law so they might be son-placed with... Full rights. Okay, do you want to see how with full rights is connected to being son placed?
Yeah, that's good.
This is what Paul's talking about. He said you could be a child, but you need to be son placed.
Mm.
You need to be taken from I'm a child in this home, but if you're a child that's too young, you might as well be a slave.
Mm.
No. I'm taking you from child
to
actually being son placed, which means that you have the authority to work with the rights that God has given you.
That's good.
And he said, because you're sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, who cries, Abba Father. You're real sons. It's from the depths of your hearts. This is not you just echoing it. You've got the spirit. We've really connected in here. So you're no longer a slave, but a weos, a son. And if you're a weos, then you're also an heir through God.
Yeah.
If you're a son, you're an heir. All right?
That's good.
Because children weren't always heirs,
but
sons were.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's good.
You're locked in as an heir. All right, let's just look at this again in Romans chapter 8.
Hopefully Neville's kept reading Romans in the meantime.
Yeah, yeah. I've written a book for Neville, actually. It's going to be published very soon. And for my forward, I dedicated to Neville.
Mm.
To those in Romans 7,
yeah.
So they can come into Romans Excellent. 8. So then, brothers and sisters, we're under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God... Those being directed and guided and led, we're the sons of God. All right? You did not receive the spirit of slavery leading again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption.
Son placement.
The spirit of son placement, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit himself bears witness to our spirit that we are God's children. Let me just grab this. In my Bible. Verse 16. The Spirit himself bears witness to our spirit that we are God's children.
Mm.
Technon, children. This is not weos, not sons. This is why this is children. Another name.
You've just used another word.
Yeah, another word. Technon. Which is again a child.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they translate it child. And if children, then heirs. But it's because of the spirit of adoption where we've got this, the Spirit himself, we have received a spirit of, New American says adoption as sons.
Mm.
It combines that. We've been son placed, so now we're children, but we're son placed children.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? We're children with an inheritance.
Yes.
All right.
That's good.
So that's how Paul's writing this. We are children of God, but we're son placed children, and that's what you need to say about yourself. I'm a son placed child of God, and the Spirit of God is affirming that in me that I'm His child, but I'm son placed.
Yeah.
All right.
That's good.
And because of that, then heirs. And fellow heirs with Christ. So we now come into the same inheritance because the Son, we've been brought in and Son placed to share the inheritance, the same inheritance that Jesus has.
That's good, yeah.
All right. So now our role is to say, well, what's that inheritance? What have we been brought into?
Yeah.
What the mirror says, okay, you've been Son placed. And the next question is, well, what's the inheritance? What, you know, because the last thing you want to do is, okay, how can I say this? God just didn't bring you in to be family, all right? He didn't say, I want you just to come in and be technon or nepios. I just want you, little kids. I'm just happy to have you in the family. He, on purpose, son-placed us.
Yeah.
Which means he elevated us straight into the role of having authority to access and use the inheritance.
Yeah.
Right? If I'm sitting in the household of God and I say, I'm just happy to be in your house. And some people say that, you know what I mean? I am. You know, like, I'm just grateful to be here.
Yeah.
I'm grateful to be called your child.
Yeah.
I am grateful that I'm in your family. You've redeemed me. You've birthed me. I'm a new creation. I'm just happy to be here. All right? That is, you know, and it's taken, well, that's very humble of you.
Yeah.
But the difficulty is God says, hang on a sec, I didn't place you here to be my child. I brought you into this. I made you a son.
Yeah.
Sorry, I made you a child of mine. And a brand new creation. I put my seed in you. You're born. But then I son placed you.
Yeah, that's really good.
You put into the family to work, boy.
He expects you.
I expect you to. And when I say work, I don't mean go out and do things in the flesh. I mean to take the inheritance,
yeah,
and to steward it,
yes,
to work the inheritance and be a steward of what God has given us, with not like a slave. See, so I'm not doing this like a slave given tasks as a son to actually implement the father's plans and purposes,
yeah,
using
good.
The resources of the father. They're my resources now to use.
Yeah.
So what is this inheritance? And it says we share this inheritance with Jesus.
Mm,
now remember, we said last week we look at Jesus to find our image. This is who we are. We've been brought in like Jesus. This is our sonship. We find this here. Now our inheritance is locked into him. So my aim is a look in the mirror to find out what is the inheritance. Is that, surely, now again, we've got to get our head around certain things. Certain things I sort of say, Jesus just had an inheritance because he was Jesus. You know, it's sort of like a little bit weird, like I'm sharing an inheritance with Jesus. Like, wow, that's really big because, you know, like he's the Son of God and he's glorious inheritance. Jesus just had an inheritance because of who he was.
Yeah.
Because he was.
Yeah.
He always was and always is, always will be. He's the Son of God. He's the glorious God.
He was there in the beginning.
In the beginning. So he's got all that he needs and every bit of authority. It just is his because of who he is. All right? I want you to get that mindset out. Authority and inheritance that Jesus has is not connected to who he is, but what he did.
Mm.
And what he became and what he did actually gives him authority and rights and rules. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 1 for a second. After God spoke long ago in various portions, various ways to ancestors through the prophets, God used a whole lot of means to communicate with us. But now, in these days, he's given one communication that's different to everything in his Son. All right?
Mm.
The Son, he's communicated through the Son. This Son, whom he appointed heir of all things. Mm-hmm. Jesus would have just had he would have just been an heir. He was appointed an heir of all things, and through whom he created the world. This is his Son. The Son is the radiance of his glory, the representation of his essence. He sustains all things by his powerful word. And so when he had accomplished cleansing for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Thus he became so far better than the angels, as he has inherited a name superior to theirs.
Mm.
And there's part of me that does my head in the sense of, no, he already had this.
Yeah.
He's Jesus.
What's going on here?
Yeah, how can he get something that you already have? All right. So there are certain things that in the framework of how authority works and how the world works, and I'm not actually saying I fully understand it all. I'm unpacking this more and more as I go. As I look into the mirror, I'm understanding it better and better.
Yeah.
I'm understanding how God works in relationships established by covenants.
Mm.
Covenants are his way of dealing and
That's
working.
Really good. I like that.
And so he had an access into the world through Abraham, who believed him. And Abraham believed God. It was put to his account that he was righteous. And he made a covenant with him. And from that covenant, he had a seed line. And it says, and Abraham, God promised that through his seed, talking singular to Jesus.
Mm.
So now Abraham became the access into the world. But it was through Abraham. It was through this one people group. And I think significantly when his natural line was Isaac. Everything was, remember, Ishmael and all the other children had come, but it was Isaac was the key.
Yeah.
Isaac was the only one. And God told him what to do with Isaac. Go and sacrifice him. Go and kill him. It's just a weird story in terms of, you know, God would never tell you to kill a child. And there you go, kill a child. And but then when he went to kill him, he said, no, I provided the ram, whatever. There's a part where it's like Abraham was doing stuff that says my whole inheritance, my whole seed, I'm yielding to God, I'm giving it, and that is giving God access, covenantal access to be able to work in the earth, to come and to be
That's the really sacrificial lamb,
and he comes. But he's Lord over all the earth, or the cattle on a thousand hills, in the Old Testament, you know, this world is mine. But there's elements where the enemy has rulership, you know, through Satan's deception and Adam and Eve's rebelling. Things went south in this world, and now when Jesus comes to the earth, And the devil's tempting him. He says, listen, I can give you all the kingdoms of the world. So he had access and rule over this.
Yeah.
So Jesus comes to the earth and he sets aside. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. He said, you should have exactly the same attitude that Jesus had. For verse 6, Jesus, although he existed in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God as something to be grasped. He didn't cling to his all the rights and responsibilities and powers he had as being God.
Mm.
He left them.
Yeah.
And it says he emptied himself by taking on the form of a slave and by looking like other men and by sharing in human nature. He became just like us.
Yeah.
So all that's gone. And he comes in. Now he is coming in and he's got to use the covenants and the authorities that are in place. He's got to actually get an inheritance. Oh. Well, I might just turn my focus on. I thought I did that, but I didn't.
That was exciting.
He left that all that.
Yeah.
And now he's working under this level where he needs the authority and the powers that comes to him by the Spirit.
Yeah, that's good.
And then he says that he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. As a result of what he did, who is it we're talking about? The second man. Remember, we had Adam, the first man. Jesus now, the second man, effectively. He comes in. He both is representative of Adam and all mankind. He's also working as a representative of Abraham, the seed of Abraham.
Yeah.
All right. Now he's able to represent mankind, and he's able to be on the earth under the authority of the covenant, and he gives himself in death. As a result, God highly exalted him and gave him the name that's above every other name. Every name. Now, there's a lot of conjecture about this. What name did God give him? Some say, you know, he gave him the name Yahweh. He gave him the Old Testament name for God was given to Jesus because in the word. But here it goes. It says at the name of Jesus, every name will bow. I'm of the opinion when it says it gave him a name, it doesn't mean you have to give him a different name. All right? You say, well, how does that work? Okay. How can I do this? All right. I'll use Donald Trump as an example. Sorry for it. I've just probably offended half the world.
That'll be all right.
Get over it. This is a good example, regardless of your politics. Okay, Donald Trump had a name. He's always had a name. His name is Donald Trump.
Yeah. All right?
And that's his name. And he signed his name and used his name. And people say, what's your name, Donald Trump? And he could write checks and things like that. But then when he became president, he was given the name Donald Trump. You say, but he's already got the name Donald Trump. No, because, I'll see if I can actually call one up. I was looking at them earlier. Presidential order. I'm going to desert that. This is always dangerous to, and I'll do Donald Trump. This is, you know, you can get them. You can get these from anyone. And let's look at images. Okay, there you go. There is Donald Trump holding up a whole lot of different presidential orders, different times. Here you can see the different signatures in different places. So let's just pick this one. Looks nice and clear. This is Donald Trump, who has just signed a presidential order. Okay, I'll take his face out if that's triggering anyone. But down. Oh.
It's always fun doing these things
live. On the go. I don't know what I've done there. I think I've gone into a...
We saw the image.
Yeah, it says I want to... Do you want to buy this? No, I don't want to buy this. I'm just looking at it. Let's try another one. Maybe I'll be allowed to look at this one. I just wanted to zoom in on it.
If anybody wants to buy it, we'll sell it.
Okay, here we go. All right, what I wanted to show you is... Down the bottom here, that's Donald Trump's signature.
Yeah.
I checked up on this to make sure that he wasn't writing President Dr. Donald Trump or doing anything. That is exactly the same signature he used before he was president.
Yeah.
and it's his signature. It says Donald Trump.
Yep.
But his name's changed. He's got a new name. Because now this name has authority.
Yeah.
This name changes things nationwide.
Yes.
In the nation of America, this name now has authority.
It sounds the same.
Sounds the same.
But it's changed.
But it's changed.
It's different.
He's been given a new name.
Yeah.
He's given the name of the president.
There's a new, there's weight to this.
Yes. This name has authority to activate and do things.
Yeah.
All right? So you don't have to change that. When I give you a new name, you don't have to get a new name.
Mm.
I've given Donald Trump the new name of president, and he still writes his name as Donald Trump, but now his name is president.
Yeah.
So that's why I don't think that Jesus had to get a different name.
Yeah.
Just his name was new.
Yeah, that's good.
In terms of what...
That's really good.
All right? But it was also the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord is the Greek word kurios. In the Old Testament, whenever they said Yahweh, they would replace it with Adonai, meaning Lord. So there was a sense when they were using Lord, they were saying that's the same as the Lord God in the Old Testament. And so Yahweh, Jesus Christ, I have no problems. The name Jesus is Yeshua, Joshua. Joshua's very aware of this because Jesus and him have the same name, Yeshua. And Yeshua is Yahweh saves. So his name Yahweh is already in his name. So you know, it's all interwoven there. Some people might have to rewind that, stop and take notes. I'm not gonna take time for it. All right. The important part here is so at this name of Jesus now, same name.
Yeah.
Every knee will bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, that's where they get the Yahweh.
Yep.
Jesus, the Messiah, is the Yahweh to the glory of God the Father.
Mm.
He's been given a name. How did he get that name? He got that name through what he did.
Yeah.
He was given a name that gives him authority. Now, when Jesus came to the earth, he had a plan to go to the cross and to die to save. But his plan was not just to die and go to the cross. His plan was what he was doing that for. Scripture just came to me. Hebrews, I think it's 12. I just want us to. I want to look at it before I. Hebrews 12:2. Okay, I want us to get in the head of Jesus. Good site, good place to be. Why? Because that's the mirror.
Yeah,
that's our inheritance.
That's good.
How he views his inheritance, what he was coming for. He came, he emptied himself. No inheritance, no authority.
Mm.
Okay, he's got the same name, but no authority.
Yeah.
Okay, now he's relying on the Spirit and God. And you know, and he sends us out in his name.
Yeah.
All right, so the authority he's got is authority given to him to accomplish and do what he's called to do.
That's good.
And keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, the pioneer, perfecter of our faith, for the joy set out for him, he endured the cross. He went to the cross because he was pretty excited about something on the other side. All right? He was... What he's excited about? All right? What was it is he excited about? He was going to be given authority through this act. All right, he was going to receive a level of authority.
Yeah.
All right, and what was he going to do with it? Just look at with me First Corinthians. I'm giving you a lot of scriptures here. You might have to go back and take time to work through them.
We're getting a piece here, a piece here, and a piece here.
It's
all necessary. It's all needed because it's building to something good.
And I want you to see how Jesus is looking at things, all right? I might just do here which translation. I'm going to do it in the Living Bible because I want to make it easy to read, all right? Because it says I passed you on to you the right from the first that what had been told to me that Jesus that Christ died for our sins just as the Scripture said he would, and that he was buried. Hang on, I don't know how far I don't want to read. skip to 12. You can go back and read. I don't have time to do too much read. So Jesus is risen from the dead. If there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ must still be dead, which is stupid. If he's still dead, I'm just going to skip. Okay. Sorry for no... As a teacher, I'm like, oh, I want to provide lots of background. But time, this is the pertinent part. Verse 21. Death came into the world because of what one man, Adam, did. And it is because of what the other man, Christ, has done that now there is the resurrection of the dead.
Yeah.
Adam, Christ, the two men.
Yeah.
Adam, he brought death. Christ brought resurrection. Everyone dies because all of us are related to Adam, being members of his sinful race. And wherever there is sin, death results. But all who are related to Christ will rise again. So now, because I'm connected to Adam, but no. Now I've got a new creation, and I'm in Christ.
That's good.
This Adam brings death. This Adam is life-giving.
That's good, resurrection.
Yeah. Each, however, in his own turn, Christ rose first. Then when Christ comes back, all his people will come alive again. Like, even those who have died, we're all... Resurrection is established. After that, the end will come. This is the part, okay. When he will turn the kingdom over to God the Father, having put down all enemies of every kind. Now, he's conquered everyone, but not everyone's put down.
Mm.
Does it make sense? Everyone is... The victory is assured, but the victory must now be outworked.
Yeah.
All right? So we're in that stage.
Yeah.
The victory has been won, but it must be now outworked.
That's good, yeah.
Okay. He's going to turn the kingdom over to God the Father. He's like, you know what I've been doing the last 2,000 years? So let's say Jesus comes tomorrow. He says, so the last 2,000 years, I've been advancing and developing and building this kingdom as a gift for my Father. All right? Having put down enemies of every kind, for Christ will be king until he's defeated all his enemies. Will be king until? Including the last enemy, death. This too must be defeated and ended. For the rule and authority over all things has been given to Christ by his Father. He's been given rulership over everything by God.
Mm.
Except, of course, Christ does not rule over the Father himself, who gave him the power to rule. When it says over, Paul's just like, hang on a second, when I say all things are under Jesus, I'm not to mean the Father's not under him.
Yeah.
He's, you know, just some idiot out there is going to misinterpret this. That's what Paul says. Paul says, some idiots out there are going to misinterpret this and say, because I said authority over all things, he's going to say, well, that means the Father's under his authority. Okay, that's a good sign to you that sometimes when we use expressive statements, meaning all, there are exceptions to that are not mentioned.
Yeah.
And Paul's like, some people are idiots.
I wonder how often Paul had to do this.
Yeah.
You know, when he's at this level, it's like, oh, but I'm...
Yeah, people are going to misinterpret this. So it's interesting. This is a real good example of you can misinterpret if you take things and don't try and contextualize it and see what Paul is trying to say, not just hold him to his exact words, which take it out of context and out of his meaning. All right?
Mm.
So it's a good example for... how we approach the Bible. So he said, all rule and authority has been given to Jesus by his Father. When Jesus finally won the battle against all his enemies, at the end time, then he, the Son of God, will put himself also under his Father's orders, so that the God who has given him the victory over everything will be utterly supreme. In other words, he's going to take everything that Father's given him and present it back to him and say, it's all done for you, and I'm giving it all back to you.
Yeah.
That's his plan.
Wow. All
right? So when Jesus is on the earth, coming to the earth, and he's dying, he says, for the joy set before him, he's got a plan.
Mm.
He's got something in his heart. What does he want? He wants to take what has been established and started in Abraham and has been limited to one area. When Jesus came to the earth, remember, he could not just go to anywhere he wanted. And that's because God didn't tell him to go anywhere. That's because he couldn't, because his mission was locked in to the lost sheep of Israel. Mm. And let me see if I can get this. Sorry, I'm just trying.
Is this the one woman following him? Or
yeah, but I'm finding it from the book of Acts. Oh, book of, wrong book. This is why I could not. Okay, Matthew 10, 5 to 6. Yeah, the Syrophoenician woman. He said, I can't minister to you. Because why should I take the bread for the children?
Call her a dog.
And give it to the dogs. When Jesus... I'll try and get out of... I'll go back something so I'm not in red text. Jesus sent out these 12, instructing them themselves, do not go on a road that leads to the Gentile regions.
Mm.
And do not enter any Samaritan town. Go instead to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
Mm.
And like you said, he had that when the Samaritan... Syrophoenician woman said, can you heal me? He said, no, I can't. He said, this is, but she by faith and her attitude enabled him to be able to minister.
Yeah.
There. All right.
So good.
So he's saying to his disciples, go, but stay within these boundaries.
Yeah.
He comes to earth. The authority he's been given, the authority he has is linked to Abraham and what his authority is, which is in the lost sheep of Israel, to the Abrahamic covenant. But Jesus has got his eye on and some other promises. He looks at the old covenant, when the promises are given in the old covenant, when we talk about the Messiah will do this and the Messiah will do that, we're like, that's interesting. But Jesus says, that's me. When it talks about the Messiah will do this in Isaiah 53, that's me.
Yeah.
And it's not just, oh, that's interesting. No, but that's his empowerment. That's when God speaks something, that releases something.
Mm, that's good.
Let's just go to Daniel 7. Okay, so Jesus would have been aware of these sorts of scriptures. I can prove that he was aware of them. Daniel chapter 7. This is, I'm saying, when Jesus came to the earth, this is what he had in mind.
Mm.
All right? These were not like, oh, look what I discovered. This is why he came. Okay, he came to save us.
Mm.
Yes, he came to save us, but he was looking beyond that.
Mm.
He was looking not just to get us into the household.
Yeah.
His plan was that we must be son placed.
Yep.
And that we must share the inheritance that he has. So what is an inheritance? He has a plan to get an inheritance and then to share it with us. So what is that inheritance he's looking at? Verse 13. So Daniel gets a vision, sees ahead. He says, I was watching in the night visions and with the clouds of the sky, one like a son of man was approaching. He went up to the Ancient of Days and was escorted before him. To him, he sees this vision. Was given ruling authority, honor, sovereignty.
Mm.
All peoples, nations, and language groups were serving him. Jesus says, according to this, there is a way to bring the authority over all the nations.
Mm. Yeah, that's good.
All right? There is a pathway.
There's a path forward.
For this. All right. Then he goes to another scripture which talks about this, Psalm 2. And he reads this about himself. It says, why do the nations rebel? Why are the countries devising plots that will fail? They're coming up against... The nations have risen up against God. And God's, the kings of the earth form a united front. The rulers collaborate against Yahweh and against his anointed king. Now, this can, you know, like initially the it's seeing David, but as we can see through many prophetic psalms, it's David looking through to the Messiah.
Yeah.
Something, this has gone beyond David.
Mm.
All right?
That's good.
They've risen up against the king, against Jesus. The nations are opposing God and against his appointed anointing. Jesus said, what's going to happen? This is me. This is me. This is why I came, because he said, I know this happened.
Yeah.
They say in verse 3, well, let's tear off the shackles that they've put on. Let's free ourselves from the ropes. In other words, we will not submit. But Jesus, remember it said, every knee shall bow.
Yeah.
I've been given a name, every tongue will confess.
Yep.
He said, no. This. How does this happen? Then the one enthroned in heaven laughs in disgust. The Lord taunts them. Then he angrily speaks to them and terrifies them in his rage. He says, I myself have installed my king on Zion, my holy hill. Now, this is talking about David, but now it's talking about Messiah.
Yeah.
Jesus referred to himself through this prophet, this scripture. It was also in the book of Acts, referred to this scripture, and the next verse, I think, about Jesus. And Hebrews, I think, refers to Jesus through this scripture.
Mm.
They're all using this scripture three times, talking about Jesus. The king says, I will announce Yahweh's decree. He said, you are my son. This very day I've become your father. That just is weird. Like, he's always been his father. The thing of son placement, son inheritance. Ask me, he says. Ask me, says the father, and I will give you the nations as your inheritance.
Mm.
The ends of the earth as your personal property. Mm. You will break them with an iron scepter. You will smash them like a potter's jar. You will go through and you will break down the authorities that the enemy has set up, and you will take rule over. Jesus goes, this is my pathway. This is what I need. Because he says, I've got this plan. He says, I've got this plan, Josh.
I got this plan, and this is what I need to do the plan.
I want to show you my plan, Josh. Do you want to see my plan?
He says, yes.
Joshua, I want you to look at Revelation 5. All right, well, let's just read from the start. I saw in the right hand of the one who was seated on the throne a scroll written on the front and back and sealed with seven seals. Amazing. In there is revelation. In there is the understanding. John's like, this is so exciting. And I saw a powerful angel proclaiming in a loud voice, who is worthy to open a scroll and break its seals?
Mm.
Who wants to show, see this? And no one in heaven, on earth, or under the earth was able to open the scroll and look into it. He begins to weep. He's so upset. He begins to weep bitterly because no one was found who could open it.
Yeah.
And then one of the elders said, stop weeping. Look, someone is worthy. Look, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, all right, notice where it's coming from, has conquered. And thus he can open the scroll and its seven seals.
Mm.
He did not open it because he was the Son of God.
Yeah.
He did not open it because he was God. He opened it because he had conquered. By coming to the earth, coming of the Root of David, the tribe of Judah, conquering sin through the work of the cross, gave him an authority to release this plan and to release this next stage. He's been given, through what he did, he can now open it up.
Yeah.
All right?
Wow.
Then, so it comes. I saw standing in the middle of the throne and the four living creatures in the middle of the altar a lamb that appeared to have been killed. This is him! He had seven horns and seven eyes, which the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Oh, it's going out.
Yeah.
Then he came and took the scroll from the right hand of the one who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders threw themselves to the ground before the Lamb. Each one of them had a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. They were singing a brand new song. Brand new song. This is it. You are worthy to take the scroll, to open its seals, because you were killed. And at the cost of your blood, what have you done? You have purchased for God persons from every tribe, every language, every people, and every nation. You've broken it from here to being the whole earth.
Yeah.
All right. And the nations and the rulers and the spiritual powers that had control over the whole earth, he has come to them, and now he has got the iron scepter to shatter their rule. They said, we will stop God from getting to these people. We will hold God. We will resist.
Mm.
And God's laughing. He says, I've got a plan.
Yeah.
I've got a son. My son is going to do you guys. And they said, we're not going to rule under the king. No, no, no. Because what he did is going to give him authority. And through what he did, I can give him a name.
Mm.
Which that name now is the name you can use for executive orders. Not over this area, but over the whole earth.
Mm.
So let's look at Revelation chapter 2. No. Yes, Revelation chapter 2. Let's skip back. Jesus is talking to the church of Thyatira. Pergamum. Church of Thyatira. Have you thought about the church of Thyatira much recently? Okay, so he's got the... they're in a tough place. Not that they're in a tough place, they're doing dumb things. I have this against you, the Church of Thyatira. You tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, and by her teaching deceives my servants to commit sexual immorality and to eat food sacrificed to idols. Not happy. I've given her time to repent, but she's not willing to repent of her sexual immorality. Look, I'm throwing her onto a bed of violent illness. Those who commit adultery with her into terrible suffering unless they repent of her deeds. Jesus is having trouble with one of his churches. All right? He's dealing with it. But not everyone in Thyatira is caught up in this. Bang! He's hitting this situation. And then he turns to those who's like... Have you ever been in a room where someone's being disciplined and you're like, it wasn't me.
I was just here.
I
wasn't a part of it.
Yeah, I don't like Jezebel. I've said I don't like Jezebel. I won't take the teaching of Jezebel.
I don't subscribe to that.
Yeah. So it says, furthermore, but, verse 24, but to the rest of you in Thyatira, to the others, you're doing okay. You're doing good. Just hold fast. Just keep, you know, don't get caught up in what they're doing. Hold on to what you have until I come. And now he begins to declare the things that come to those who hold fast and the promises and the provisions that come. Now, people sort of say when they're heaven, but a lot of these things are interwoven into now. Do you know what I mean? But he's talking about those that hold fast, the sort of authority that comes to them. Look at what authority he says you have when you hold on. To the one who conquers and who continues in my deed until the end, I will give him authority over the nations.
Over the nations.
He will rule them with an iron rod, and like clay jars, he will break them into pieces. What does that sound like? It's all even put in bold to tell you that Psalm 2.
Yeah.
He is quoting, he says, you're going to get that same authority. And look at what he says here. Just as I have received the right to rule from my Father. I've already been given this.
Yeah.
I've got this.
That's good.
I've got this. And I will give him the morning star. I've been given this by my Father because I asked him for it. Remember, he says, I had this plan to take all the nations and the people and to present them to the Father as a gift. My aim is to bring as many of these people and I'm going to bring them into heaven and say, here, Dad. Here, Heavenly Father. Here, Father God.
Yeah.
Here is the gift from every nation, from every tribe, every people, from every tongue. I've brought them all in because I had authority to go and get them. I had authority over the nations. And if you, the Church of Thyatira, don't get messed up with this Jezebel, this is what you're aiming at. This is who you are to call. This is your purpose. This is your plan.
That's good.
This is what you've done. I've been given this authority. Now, the first thing I've got to realize is, okay, I've got this. Jesus now wins this authority. From Daniel, he sees it. From Psalms, he's got it. He's gone to the Father. He's been given the authority. How is he going to get all these people? He says, well, the first thing I'm going to do is going to put my seed into these people who, by faith, trust me.
Yeah.
But can't leave them as... Nepions, just little kids. I've got to give them the same inheritance that I've been given.
Because
I've just earned this inheritance. I've earned the nations. I've been given the nations as my rulership and right to go get them. To go get them. This is my inheritance.
Yeah.
So I'll get my... And I'll make them sons. I'll place them... I'll give them son placement. Which gives them access to the inheritance. Same access that I have.
Yeah.
Same authority that I have. And I will then, what will I do? Well, I'll send them out to go and get this, get them in, bring them in. So we'll finish on this. I don't know what the time, Matthew 28.
17 plus. Right.
Yeah, we're doing good. Matthew 28.
Great Commission.
Now I want you to read, see this Great Commission through the eyes of what I've just said. Then Jesus came up and said to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Now, in the past I sort of read, surely he had that anyway.
Yeah.
You know, duh, he's Jesus. You already had authority.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is sort of like, I don't understand why you're saying you've been given authority. You had authority because of who you are. No, he emptied himself so he could come in as the second man, the last Adam, to break the power of the devil and his rule and reign and people. Take that, absorb it, all the wrath of God, become the firstborn of a whole new breed.
Mm.
We put new creations, the image of Jesus, and we fast track them into sonship, make them son placed, put in them the Holy Spirit to enable them to get this job done. Because, you know, imagine being sent out to get this job. He said, how are we going to do it? Well, he said, the same way as I came to earth. When I came to earth, I left all my authority behind.
Mm.
I left all my ability behind.
Yeah.
I just used the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So he says, I'm going to put the Holy Spirit in you. So you've got this. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to give you my authority. I'm going to give you my name. Mm. This name which now means something, is the name.
Good.
He said, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations. Go for it. Go into all the nations now.
Yeah.
Because I've got this. Mm. Psalm 2 and Daniel 7 activated. I've been given it, you know. And everyone who holds fast, you enter into it as
You'll get this, yeah.
Just enter it. And it's why, you know, the son placement is the inheritance. It's ours, but if we mess around with the Jezebels and the thing, we destroy what God is intending for us to be able to activate.
Do you know
what I mean? He's like, that's not what this is all for. This is the purpose. Go out, and under this authority that I've been now given, you have authority. The nations and the filth, they belong to me. Now go get them so I can give them to the Father.
Bring them in.
Bring them in so I can bring them. And so we're part of that. We're like, Someone went and got us. And we're now, we're from every tribe and tongue. We're about as far away as they were thinking. They didn't even know we existed back then, but God did. You know, well, we didn't exist. This land existed.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, you know, come over here, okay, all the way. And to the tribes, you know, the great Southland of the Holy Spirit, this event, the great proclamation over the Southlands, this gospel will be proclaimed.
Yeah.
This is what it's for. This is why it's here. This is our inheritance. This is our purpose. So Acts 24 and I think 23. That wasn't 23. What was it? Acts 26.
That's when you know the Bible so well that you're not sure where anything is at that point.
Okay, and so Paul said, Paul's talking about his calling, why he was called. I have experienced help from God, and to this day, so I stand testifying to both small and great, saying nothing except what the prophets of Moses said was going to happen, and that the Christ was to suffer and to be the first to rise from the dead, to proclaim light both to our people and to the Gentiles. Paul said, and to the Gentiles.
Thank God he said, and to the Gentiles.
Exactly. This, he said, that moment when Jesus rose from the dead, he became the first that had the right to take it. Why?
Yeah.
Because he had won the right, and in doing that, he was given the inheritance, and he was given the name, and that name is now given to us, and we're to go out in that name, and we are to take authority. This people that we are amongst in this region, for us it's in this Bayswater, Wantirna area, in this region, Jesus has purchased the price for them. Jesus has won the victory for them. He has, and he gives us the iron scepter to use his authority to smash the plots of the enemy and shatter what their strongholds. This is not like, oh, let's, I hope we're not going too far. This is his inheritance. We must lay claim to his inheritance. This is his purpose, to bring people in, to get them born again and get them saved. Not to mess around with the Jezebels and immorality and, this is not why I brought you in.
Don't do that.
No. My purpose is to bring you and to say, look at these people. They are sun placed, wonderful people doing the wonderful works of God. And it says, that was my joy. The joy set for people. I'm so excited. I'm looking forward to this.
Because he knows what it means.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this. This is why I came. This is the purpose, what I had. This is what he's looking for. I'm going to finish on this. Revelation 7:9. This was his plan. You have to remember, a lot of these things were written now that we're Gentiles and we are, you know, the gospel's gone so far. To us, it's like, yeah. But this was transitional to the to the Jewish mind in the first century. They were very, this is about, actually, it won't be the last scripture, 7:9. And after these things, behold, a great multitude looked, and there was an enormous crowd that no one could count, made up of persons from every nation, tribe, people, language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, dressed in long white robes with palm branches in their hands. And they were shouting with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb. So he said, this is what I live for. This is why I came to the earth. This is why I went to the cross. This is why I did this, because I knew that through that action, I would be given the right to open the seals. And we are we're in a whole new era where now these are my nations. These are my people. And I sun placed you so you would walk in that inheritance. That's, you're now sharing my inheritance. You don't have to earn your inheritance. You don't have to try and...
You don't have to be like Jacob. You don't have to... You know, manipulate it.
No, you just walk in it. But the last thing God wants us to do is to see how wonderful it is to be saved and be just children sitting saying, but I'm like a slave. Effectively, he said, you place yourself as, go back to slave ship.
Yeah.
You've got an inheritance, but as long as you're treating yourself as a child, you're not activating it. You're like a slave.
You're holding a scepter that can destroy the strongholds. Like, I'm just glad to be here.
Yeah.
You know.
I better put this over here. I don't know what that... I don't want to break anything.
Because it will.
I don't want to damage it. Better put that over there. This is so nice to sit here. Oh, I just love being in this nice household because God loves me and I love him. And that's amazing.
Yeah. That's also...
Yeah, that's where the Holy Spirit comes in us so that we can say, Abba, Father. Mm. All right. I promise... One last one. But let's see how many ones we
think,
get.
I think you have the promised final series of scriptures.
Yeah.
they all understand that. Yeah. If you're new, you'll understand this now.
So I've gone too far. Acts chapter 2. Now when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like a violent wind blowing from heaven filled the entire house where they were sitting. Tongues spreading out like fire appeared to them, and came to rest on each one of them. It is Acts chapter 1. I want to go back before that comes. So when they had gathered together, they began to ask, Lord, is this the time when you are restoring the kingdom to Israel? Can you imagine how...
Overthrow the Romans.
Can you imagine how annoying this is? And they say, it's all about Israel.
Yeah.
He has just come to break down the barrier to all the nations.
Mm.
And they're talking about, can we just set up into Israel again? Can we just build up Israel again? He's like, it's not about Israel. About Israel. He said, you are not permitted to know those times or periods that the Father has been set in his own throne. But you, this is what we're doing here. We're not building up Israel. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria. Because remember, they were told, don't go to the Samaritans.
Yeah.
Samaria. And to the farthest parts of the earth, he said. And then he went up. And then it says, and then he said this, he went.
And they're like, did you just say that? Why did he say that?
He's like, I'm giving you the Holy Spirit. This is about going out everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
And I hadn't thought of this till right now. Isn't it amazing when the Holy Spirit came, chapter 2, and they're all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with other languages. They began to use the languages of all the nations.
Mm.
Parthians, Medes, Elamites, Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, province of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya and Syria. Suddenly, the Holy Spirit comes to them. They're not speaking to the Jews. Now, the Jews understood it because they were the Jews that were there.
Yeah.
But they were the Jews from all the... They're saying, this is all the languages from out there.
Yeah.
We all understand Hebrew because we're here, or Aramaic. Yeah, right. This is our language. He could have come to us in our language. But now the Holy Spirit comes on them. The first thing that happens is he begins to speak. We don't need those languages out, but he says, already started.
But you will.
Already started. This is, to me, I hadn't understood. It's the exact representation of why he came.
Mm. Yeah, that's so good.
Get languages out there that... Straight away, they're speaking the glories of God to all the in all the languages, every tribe and every tongue.
That's amazing.
Because that's what he wanted. So we look into the mirror. We look into this mirror. Look into the Bible. We look into the mirror. It not only tells us we're a new creation, but we understand what Jesus' was inheritance and what his purpose and why he's been given authority and what his plan is. And his plan is to do this until the final death is overcome, and he's stretching us, and then he's up in the heavens, and God, it's like, God, look at this huge crowd from every tribe and every tongue, all
good.
Singing glory to God and to the Lamb. And he's like, that's why I did it. That's my purpose. That's my plan.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing. And we, by looking in the mirror, get to see his plan.
Mm.
And by seeing his plan, we also see it, that's been given to us.
We get to enact his plan, help in that.
Yeah. Yeah, we're sun-placed. So that's why we are sun-placed. Yeah. Okay, because the sun's job is to administer the work of the household. So go do it. Use all the resources that we've been given.
The responsibility.
And Holy Spirit comes in, quickens us, enables us to get this job done.
Yeah.
Empowers us to get this job done. We don't know how to do it, but the Holy Spirit comes in. We don't know how to pray, but he prays and intercedes on our behalf. He gets it done through us. So your job is just to go there, because, and not go out there and not go to the world and say, we're going out of the place of authority into the devil's camp. Now, it is, you know, the devil's got authority and we've got to pull those, but that's actually been established. Jesus has already been given the authority. We are going into that which is authorized to us. All right, we are not going outside of our boundaries. We're going just into the boundaries that Jesus has already won.
Yeah, that's good.
All right? And when the enemy says, oh, you can't come here, we laugh. Psalm 2.
Get the scepter out.
Yep. And we begin to smash down and break what the enemy is using to control those. That is the last scripture, whatever it was. Put it away, close my Bible.
I think God was like, oh, that's funny. He said last scripture. Here's something else.
Right? Yeah, yeah. Everyone's like, okay, are we done? I believe we're done.
Yeah,
I feel as if
there's a lot to chew on there.
Yeah,
a lot to,
you can go back and chew. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to read some scripture references out to you, because some of them we covered and some of them we didn't. But I'm just giving, if someone's really, okay, so I want to explore
follow
this.
The trail.
I want to explore this further. I'm just going to read a list of scriptures to you. Some of them, like I said, we would have already covered. I can't read my writing. Psalm 110. You've got to find the scripture in there. Psalm 2, you know that. Daniel 7. Matthew 11, 27. Matthew 26, 64. Romans 14, 9. Ephesians 1, 20-22. Oh, good scriptures. Philippians 2, 9. Oh. Colossians 2, 10. 1 Peter 3, 22. Romans 8, 38-39. 1 Corinthians 15, we covered that one. Colossians 2, 10-15, I think, and 15. 1 John 3, 8. Acts 24, 26, 33. And Revelations 5, 5 and 9. That's just a list. I want to give you all of those, and you can actually go through and it will just unpack what we've been sharing through Ephesians and through Philippians, through Colossians. We didn't get time to go to those ones. Psalm 110. I'm just trying to work out what verse that was. I couldn't read my scratchy chicken writing on the side of the Psalm 110, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Yeah, okay. So it's just read the whole psalm. Okay, so that's your, just go out, do what God has called. Is it possible to get those scriptures in the comments?
Yep.
Yes, it is. I will type those up in the comments. Jay's going to do it for me now.
Read it.
He hasn't seen where I've written them and how I was. You know when you're running out of room and you just sort of keep finding new scriptures, so you just make them fit anyway.
Yeah.
All right, Jay.
From there down, and then follow there down.
Okay, so the ones
both in there.
The actual text.
And if it's wrong, yeah. It's Jay's fault.
Yeah.
It's not your writing.
Yeah.
Now it's Jay's.
I don't know whether you're good with that. And you need a magnifying glass.
I can figure it out. A little bit of writing. I fucked up smaller.
Yeah. And I was writing into the where my page goes
seven
into the.
Daniel,
I'm trying to write like that. And I was like, pen's getting dodgy.
From Psalm 2:8 on.
Yes. And yeah. And there's some scriptures handwritten above and then handwritten below. All right. So Jay will do that. So that's well done, Jay. Okay, so if Jay is typing up his notes first, and then he will dump them into a comment. All right,
we'll leave the
we'll leave this going. But we can chat for a little bit. That's the teaching's done. Any questions or any thoughts? And we can maybe pray if there's anyone has anything they would like us to be praying over. Josh, have you got anything to say?
Have I got anything to say?
You better have, because I've just handed it over.
You've just handed it to me. Well. I will say something. I didn't have anything to say. Yeah. Just that it's nothing new. It's just like that was such just densely packed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like we're hearing this word here and this promise here and he's done this here. It's just how good is God?
Yeah.
How amazing Jesus, you know, God, Jesus,
yeah,
that he's done all this and that he's he did what we could never do.
Yeah.
But he's opened it up. And now he's mirrored it in a way that now we can do it, by the Spirit. And it's just like, think about like what things that you're going through or things that you're believing for, whether it's like, you know, getting people saved, relatives, friends or whatever. Yeah. Or if there's like a stronghold of the enemy and it's like, this is not breaking.
Yeah.
There's not even any cracks. Yeah. But the reality is, as we've discovered today, we have a scepter. We can, boom. That can just be wiped away.
Yeah.
And just like raising that, what God can do, through that, what Jesus has made that way, that we can do that now.
Yeah.
And it's like when you think about that things, and when you enact that plan, through the power of the Holy Spirit, through all these things that are impossible for you.
Yeah.
Things that do look impossible, it's now part of the plan. It's now been made a way. It's now possible.
Yeah.
And shifting that mindset, changing that to like, actually, I'm called, I'm appointed, I'm anointed, and I can do this.
Yeah.
Jesus did it first, you know, the second Adam, the last man, he did it. And I'm just repeating things, but I'm just saying how awesome when you really think about that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so that's just so cool. And let that change what we do now, how we do things, because that changes everything.
Yeah.
And so I just think that's really cool.
Yeah. It was Jay's done real well. I think the thing that really...
The magnitude of that.
Yeah, the thing that really got hold of me is the fact how... Well, the reason I'm sharing it this morning is I was studying yesterday, and I was planning on sharing some other things, you know what I mean? But I just this from something about when Jesus in Revelation said, this is the scripture that, you know, I'm giving you the same scripture that I was given.
Yeah.
It just so personalized it to me that Jesus, it was not like, oh, there's a scripture here that applies to Jesus. Oh, was there? Jesus is like, no, that's so important to me.
Yeah.
That was, you know, and
it's
I'm like...
It's personal, yeah.
It's personal. And he had a real... And he these things became part of a real key part of his plan. And so, and as I was digging... So anyway, you know, I spent time studying, sort of going down this path. And I was really, you know, encapsulated by it.
Yeah.
But there was this thought that I had. I was like, oh, you know, I don't want to share stuff with people that's interesting to me, but not interesting to them. Like, I don't want to say, oh, I'm really, you know, like, you know, this Greek word, oh, this is amazing. We go down this great rabbit hole and everyone's like, yeah, it's sort of nice, but yeah, that's good for you. I'm like, oh, I'm so excited. So I don't want to just be excited about something.
Yeah.
and then to share it because I'm excited. I just sort of, and as, but as I was, you know, studying, but I heard the Holy Spirit, you know, I believe it was like Jesus speaking. He said, it means something to me. And it just that phrase.
That's good.
Because I was saying, oh, this means a lot to me, but I'm not sure it'll mean something to them. And I heard Jesus say, but it means something to me.
Yeah.
And that changed my whole inward, oh, this is actually important to Jesus.
Yeah.
This is not whether I'm caught up in it or not. And to be honest, it went from, well, whether people think it's exciting or not, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I want to preach something that's really important to Jesus. Now, as it was, as I was sharing, the Holy Spirit came on it and it became much more alive. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, what I was thinking yesterday, I did not have the clarity that I had when I was preaching, because that's the Holy Spirit just bringing all these scriptures and making it sound like I've got a real clear picture of it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He made it come together.
Yeah.
So, you know, you might think, oh, you know, surely. When I was thinking about it yesterday, I didn't have this, I didn't have what I had today. All I had was this sense of, this is really important to Jesus.
That's so good.
This is important to Jesus.
And when you make what is important to Jesus, when you make that important to you, like, he gets excited over that. Yeah. And that's when he can really use you in those things.
Yeah. So my heart was to share it, and then you catch it the same, because this is what Jesus is. This is why he's doing it all. And yeah, so it was my pleasure to be able to deliver that. And I really, just by the comments and by the Spirit and by you guys' encouragement, it was like, yeah, this is really exciting. This is something we're all catching, and we're all we're all going to do.
Because this is good, like, you know, it's revelation, but this like will undergird like everything you do and how you live. It literally changes everything when you know that you are some place. That will change how you pray, what you pray.
Exactly.
You know, I'm just glad to be here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Everything benefits.
No.
Everything changes.
I think those two things, knowing sun placed and then the inheritance that we've got to administer.
Yeah.
Wow. And our resources.
You don't have to feel like you shouldn't be here.
No.
He wants you here. He's called you here.
So, well, bless you guys. We'll leave this running for 3 more minutes. We'll just put the intro screen on for 3 minutes. So if there's any final comments, that gives you a chance to put them through. So I hate to say, I hate someone thought they're halfway typing something and then we cut off. Bye, we're gone. So we'll give it 3 more minutes, which means we will see the comments. And if there's anything that you would want us to respond to, we can do that. And we won't turn it off until all the comments have stopped.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that. So there's a few people still watching. So bless you. And look forward to next Friday.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah. And
I'm already excited for it.
Excited.
I have to say it next time now.
Let's see what the mirror has for the next stage. What shows about ourselves. So thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for Jay, who has proved himself not just a good being there, but very useful being there.
Maybe he'll be back soon and trying to find this, work the system out.
Yeah, I don't know whether he's ready to get back on the iPad. But... that it was good. And thanks to Jay, you had those scriptures come up straight away.
Yeah.
Well done. Look forward to being with you next Friday. And let's see what God opens up between then. But go and be blessed.
Be blessed.